A military hearing continues today in Barksdale, Louisiana, for two U.S. pilots charged with involuntary manslaughter. The men dropped a 500-pound bomb that killed four Canadian soldiers and wounded eight others during operations last year in southern Afghanistan. Joining us now to discuss the hearing and some of the issues surrounding so-called friendly fire incidents is Brad Knickerbocker. He was a Navy combat pilot in Vietnam. Today, he covers national security and military issues for the Christian Science Monitor, and he joins us on the phone from his home in Ashland, Oregon. And welcome to Talk of the Nation.
Thank you very much, Neil.
First of all, can you remind us what these two pilots are accused of?
They're accused of dereliction of duty, manslaughter, involuntary manslaughter, and assault. Those are the formal charges. The proceeding that you mentioned is the military equivalent of a grand jury proceeding to determine whether or not they should be court-martialed.
Is it unusual for Americans, pilots, to be charged with dereliction of duty in connection with friendly fire incidents?
It's extremely unusual. I'm not sure it's ever happened before. But this, of course, was not only a tragic incident, but an international incident since it involved Canadians.
And are friendly fire incidents, as you look at combat over the past, half century or so, are they becoming more common?
They're becoming more common as a percentage of the overall casualties. Back during World War II and even up through Vietnam, friendly fire casualties amounted typically to less than 3% of the total. In the Gulf War, however, 17% of total U.S. casualties, that is, those killed and injured, were from friendly fire, and 24% of those killed were by that kind of fratricide.
You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And we're talking with Brad Knickerbocker of the Christian Science Monitor about friendly fire. How much of a factor is the difference in technology? How much of a difference has that made?
Well, I think it does make quite a difference. For one thing, you now have weapons that are very long range, beyond the range at which you can identify whether or not a target is a friend or a foe. This is true not only from the air, but also on the ground with tanks and other vehicles like that. In addition, there's kind of a perversity to it, but advances in technology can increase the danger of friendly fire because with things like lasers and global positioning systems, GPS, combatants may feel or may be tempted to feel more confident that they can come much closer to their own troops. And, of course, that happened in one instance in Afghanistan.
Up in Mazar-i-Sharif.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That was an incident. I think somebody forgot to put, well, they were changing the batteries in their GPS and forgot to reset it?
Yeah, that's exactly what happened.
Oh, so the bomb came in on their position instead of where they thought it was going to be coming in.
Right.
Yet at the same time, I mean, this kind of, you know, arrogance with technology is not new. During the Second World War, after the invasion of Europe in 1944, the United States tried to use B-17 bombers as tactical weapons and dropped about a third of their bombs on their own forces.
Yes, that's true. And also there were a number of incidents where friendly troops being flown in, airborne troops being flown into Europe, were shot down on one. In one episode alone, over 400 U.S. troops were killed because they were shot down by their own forces.
Technology is, as you suggested, part of the problem. Is it also part of the solution? We hear a lot about so-called IFF, Identification Friend or Foe Systems.
Yeah, that again goes back to World War II and typically was involved with airplanes who would send out a signal that could be identified by either another airplane or somebody on the ground. The hard part is being able to develop that kind of technology that works on the ground, particularly when you have big tank battles where the fight is going on in 360 degrees, and as I mentioned, you're able to acquire and fire your weapon, acquire a target and fire your weapon beyond the range at which you can identify friendlies. And this is still the case. There's considerable research going on, but really they're still a long way from figuring out how to be able to identify the good guys, so to speak, before you fire.
We have a call from Paul, who's on the line with us from Portland, Oregon.
Hey, how's it going?
Okay.
Hey, I just think it's a little odd that that in this case the pilots are potentially going to be court-martialed in comparison to the some earlier incidents where the pilots in Italy flew under the line that was the cable that was holding that tram and killed a bunch of people, and also then the submarine, the U.S. submarine that came up under the Japanese oceanography boat in...
it was a training ship with...
Yeah, the train... And both of those incidents sort of got swept under the rug, but I'm curious why this one somehow rates as an international incident. Is it just because there were Canadians involved? I mean, they were all terrible, equally terrible incidents.
Well, actually, the two incidents you mentioned, as well as the current one, were all international. In both those cases, it did not lead to court-martials. It was certainly the end of the career for the submarine commander, the commander of the Greenville. And it may well turn out that this does not lead to a court-martial. It's probably the end of the career for these two officers, however. Whether or not they should be criminally prosecuted, that's yet to be determined. There's something else involved here, though. Both of those early incidents that you mentioned were training accidents. This did involve combat. And it also involved, whether you want to call it recklessness or just over-aggression on the part of one pilot. It's a difficult situation because, on the one hand, you want your military people to demonstrate initiative, to fight hard, to make their own decisions. On the other hand, you don't want them to be overly aggressive and reckless, and that's part of the subcurrent to this current proceeding.
Well, Paul, thanks very much for the question.
Thanks for taking my call.
And Brad Knickerbocker, thank you very much for speaking with us today.
You're welcome, Neil.
Brad Knickerbocker, a former Navy combat pilot. He writes on national security and military issues for the Christian Science Monitor. In Washington, I'm Neil Conan, NPR News.